I guess everyone heard about this morning's terrorist attack in Israel. I don't know much of the details, but from what I know, I was very shaken up by it. It's very close to home. You know, there were Americans involved. It was that's a community that I've been in. But probably many of us have been in Har-Nof. So I'd like to just dedicate the learning today to the merit of the souls who were killed and to the recovery for those who were injured in the terrorist attack.
The Americans that were killed, were they living in Israel?
I don't know many details. I think people who they live there. I think. And I don't know so many details at this point. But the little that I do know, they're what?
I think they're Olim.
They're Olim. Yeah. But you know, they're Americans that can relate to any of us. You know, I mean, really, every single person killed in all these attacks are Jews that we should relate to. But sometimes it's closer to home. Sometimes when you know the area, you can relate more to the people. You know. So it's. But really, we should feel that way about every terrorist attack because all of them are targeting our Jewish brethren. Brothers and sisters.
My rabbi this morning did say that one of the killed was a friend of a friend of his, so he did have some time.
Right.
Yeah. Well, one of the victims was a cousin of Schumann.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No.
Very
close. Have his cousin, is he? Really? Tchorsky. Right. No. Yeah, so you should see Hashem's kindness and salvation. Save us from all these terrorist attacks and all the crazy things happening at this point in Israel. So what I discuss today is the mitzvah of Mipnei Seva Takum. You should rise before the literally Seva's gray hair. Vidarta Pnei Zakin, and you should honor the face of an elder. That'd be a literal translation of the verse. So it's the mitzvah which is understood to be, there's two parts to it. There's honoring elders and honoring Torah scholars. The way the verse is understood, in terms of the Rashi quotes it and it's cited in the Talmud, is that the term seva, which we usually translate as gray hair, that refers to an elder. And the term zakein, which usually is translated as somebody who was an elder, is understood to mean a Torah scholar. And the rabbi states actually a version of the word, of this phrase, ze shekana chachma, this one who has acquired wisdom. Zakein, ze shekana chachma, this one has acquired wisdom. And the two mitzvahs which come from this verse are to honor the elders and honor Torah scholars. Let's understand just a little bit of what defines these two mitzvahs and what we're supposed to do, and then we'll discuss some of the lessons that we have behind it. So first, what defines an elder? If they say vatakum. So it says gray hair, but we don't mean the hair. We're not standing up for the hair, obviously. You know, that's just a term used to describe somebody who is a senior. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, it means age 70 and onwards. And that's based on the quote in Pirkei Avos, "Am ben shivim l'seva." One who is 70 years old reaches the age of seva. As the term used as seva, so therefore we say somebody who is 70 or above is deserving of this honor. That's even a person who's not learned. So we're not honoring, we're not just saying a Torah scholar who's over 70, but any human being over 70 deserves honor based on their age. As long as that person is not an evil, wicked person. If the person's a sinner, someone who we view as evil, someone we view as rebellious against God, that person you don't honor no matter what age they are. But people who are good people, even if they're not learned, if they're over 70, they deserve this honor. The idea of honoring a Torah scholar is regardless of age, and even if it's not somebody who is your primary teacher or your rabbi, but just somebody who you view as greater than you in Torah knowledge and somebody who is fit to learn from, that person deserves this honor. That's the idea of the zakein. We have the mitzvah to rise up. Literally, you stand up in front of that person. That means when you're within four amos, which is about 8 feet of the person, that's the main halacha. If the person is someone who is considered either what's called your Rebbe Muvhak, your primary Torah teacher, who you've gained most of your knowledge from, or if that person is a well-known public, you know, Gadol Hador, one of the primary Torah scholars of the generation, then you should stand for them even when they're anywhere within your eyesight. So if one of the generation's greatest revered rabbis walks in, no matter how far you are, if you see the person walking through, you should stand up for that person. And you should remain standing until that person takes a seat or stops. But as they're walking through, you should remain standing. When it comes to the regular mitzvah, it's only within four amos, about 8 feet of yourself. And then once the person passes by, you can sit down. There is an opinion which says you're only required to do this twice a day. Because we only stand for we stand for God 3 times a day, right? We pray 3 times a day. We stand for God. So for a person, we'll do twice a day. That's an opinion which is in halacha. Some argue with that, but ultimately, It really depends on the situation. You don't want to be sitting where everyone else is standing, because then that's looked at as insult for the Torah scholar or elder walking by. So a lot of times it might be dependent upon what's happening around you, if you should be standing or not. But certainly if the scholar walks in 4 amos of yourself, 8 feet of yourself, you should stand. And certainly if it's one of the greatest rabbis of the generation, someone who's publicly known to be one of the primary Torah scholars of the world, that person should stand for as long as they're within the range of your sight. It's forbidden to close your eyes and ignore the person. You might say, well, I just won't look, I want to stand up. Right? So the verse continues, the same verse we're quoting, which tells you to rise in the face of a Torah scholar or an elder. It ends, V'resa melkech, you should fear your God, I am Hashem. So the end of that verse is telling you that you have to fear your God and don't try to get out of it. That's what the rabbis say, and therefore, don't try to close your eyes and not look. Once you're aware of the Torah scholar or the elders on their way, you do have to do the mitzvah and rise. A scholar or an elder is allowed to pardon their honor. So if the person says, don't worry about it, don't have to stand up, they're allowed to do such a thing, you don't have to stand up. This is common amongst, there is a halacha that once you stand for their parents. But most parents are not interested in having their kids stand up every time they walk in the room. So most parents certainly pardon that honor. They forego on it, take a pass. But, you know, the parent wants their children to stand. They certainly could say, you need to stand for me. You know, that's the mitzvah of the Torah. So too with the Torah scholar or the elder. They can let it happen if it's the right thing to do. But they're certainly allowed to pass on the honor and tell everyone, don't worry about me, don't stand for me. Even if you're in the midst of studying Torah, you still need to stand. Because this mitzvah is something which is significant enough, you have to stand even in the midst of Torah study. However, there's an interesting exception. If you're working, if you're at work, you don't have to stand. It's going to cause you to take away from your work. And it's interesting because the Torah is very, very, very particular about making sure that you stay loyal to your job. And every moment on the employer's clock is valuable. There's even a halakha, which doesn't really apply nowadays, but the basic halacha is that the Birchas HaMazon, the Birchas After Meals, has 4 different blessings in it. If you're at work, you're allowed to skip the last one. Now, that was talking about in a day and age where there were no coffee breaks, and nobody stopped to schmooze with the person next to them, and they didn't surf on the internet, they didn't take phone calls, so every moment on the clock was precious. And therefore, the rabbi said, you can't, that last bracha is actually rabbinic, it's not a biblical obligation, and you can't take away that time from the employer. Now, all the authorities write that nowadays we waste so much time at work anyways, to waste an extra minute to say the last blessing, we should for sure do that. We can't skip that blessing. But we see how the rabbis valued our time at work. So too, the Torah says that even the mitzvah is stand for Torah scholars and for elders. If you're at work, you don't need to stand. That's the halakha.
Working for some for pay.
Yes,
working for yourself.
If you're working for yourself, then you do need to stand. Right. The problem is that when you're on the clock, if it's going to cause you a loss of money, even if you're for yourself, but this moment of standing will cause you a loss of money, you don't have to stand either. So it does apply to working for yourself as well, it's going to cause you a loss of money. So those are the basic rules. I think there's a lot of details that could be discussed, but the basic rules of this mitzvah. However, I want to discuss, the obligation seems to be somewhat, it makes sense, it's rational, that the people out there deserve honor, we should honor them. But on the other hand, within America, especially in this day and age, these types of protocols or formalities are not usually done. They're looked upon kind of as strange, outdated. And nowadays, the idea of honor, showing honor, standing for others, is not so popular. Even the people who are in the great positions of power in America, besides not honoring them, often they are embarrassed and shamed, and you open up any newspaper, listen to any report on TV or on the radio, every single person is totally disgraced. That's what we do these days. Very few people are actually shown honor. And it's kind of in style not to show honor to people. That's what I see. So let's understand the concept of the Torah that we should show kavod, honor to people, and what it means. The term in Hebrew for honor is kavod. Kavod comes from the same root as kaved, which means heavy. So Rav Hirsch points out, what's the connection between honor and something which is heavy? Something which is heavy means that this is significant. It carries weight. As we say in English, it carries weight. This person should not be thrown around, tossed around easily. When you take someone lightly, again, we use the terms in English. This person carries weight. This person you take very lightly. So someone who carries weight deserves kavod. A person who is kaved, they're weighty. Their opinion is weighty. Their position is weighty. They're a person who you can't just, ignore. That person deserves honor. And the idea of showing honor is showing us to whom we should submit, who are our models, what's our vision of success in this world. That's where honor belongs. Because honor is something which teaches you, you know, what is your goal? Who's your role model? That's what honor teaches us. In the military, you know, the one place you do find honor very much, these protocols and honor very much even to this very day, as the regular process of the military is showing honor to your superiors. The idea in my mind is that you have to recognize who's the authority. Why does a lower soldier have to show so much honor to the superior? Because he has to know, this person I have to submit to. If I get a command, I must listen. And if I treat him all buddy-buddy, and he's just like one of the guys, and then when it comes down to it, why did I listen to him? We have to train ourselves in the military, to train themselves over and over again, to recognize authority, who carries weight, who's the superior, and when I hear a command, I have to listen. So in the Torah, it's the same concept. We have to know, who is my superior? Whose opinion carries weight? Who is the person who I should look at as a role model? Who should I submit to? That's what the Torah is trying to teach us. The Sefer HaChinuch writes that when it comes down to these, the two we're discussing right now, I mean, the idea of honor applies across to many different people in the Torah. We're supposed to honor other Jews, we're supposed to honor elders, like we said, Torah scholars, our parents, honor God. There's a lot of honor given in the Torah. But when it comes down to these two people we're discussing today, the Torah scholar, the elder, what's the concept of honoring these two? So the Sefer HaChinuch writes that the human being is created primarily for wisdom. When God created the human being, God gave us the advantage that we have over animals is that we have the human mind. When it says that God created us, kidmusenu, in his image, so Rashi tells us that means so that we can understand and produce, you know, greater intellectual ideas and thoughts. It has to do with the intellect. So our purpose in life is to develop understanding. That's what the human being has. Why has the human being advanced the world to the point where it is? Only because of the human mind. The human mind gave us the ability to build, to succeed. And the human mind is our goal in life. That's the asset that we have, which differentiates us from the animal. So, in that light, when you look at these two people, the elder and the Torah scholar, what they carry with them is wisdom. They carry with them a stronger, more developed understanding of this world. The Sefer HaChinuch writes that ultimately, what's the wisdom for? I mean, when God says our goal is wisdom, what kind of wisdom do we mean? Do we mean mathematics? Do we mean to understand the sports stats? What do we mean by wisdom? He says to recognize God, to recognize the Creator. So people who have succeeded in their own ways in recognizing the Creator, they deserve the honor. So for instance, he says, so obviously the Torah scholar is somebody who has spent time studying, worked very hard to study the Torah, understand God in a deeper way. So that person deserves honor because he has this wisdom within him, which we strive towards. We strive to know God better. We strive to know God's Torah. So we honor him to show that his opinion is weighty. He is somebody that I cannot ignore. He's someone I have to listen to and look at him as a model because I want to have that same wisdom he has. And I honor him for that which he possesses. The elder is somebody whose wisdom comes through life experience. Even somebody who's an elder who's ignorant in terms of Torah study, that person has lived through life. That person has gone through a lot of experiences. And the Sefer HaChinuch writes, certainly within that person's lifetime, in the years they've lived, they've recognized some of God's ways and God's wonders. Because it's very difficult to live a whole lifetime and not see God's hand in one way or the other. That's what Sefer HaChinuch writes. So these two people show honor. One person for the toil which they've had in terms of Torah study. And even that person may be young, but he possesses the Torah wisdom. And the elder is somebody who, despite the fact they may not study much Torah, that person through life experience has achieved some awareness of God, of God's miracles, of God's wonders in this world. And again, this is all with the assumption that person is not a sinner. If the person is considered a sinner, then they don't honor that person. It's interesting that the source in the Torah, the rabbis tell us in the Midrash Rabbah, the rabbis tell us, when did aging begin? Meaning, according to the rabbis, they teach us that the earliest human beings didn't age. I don't know exactly at what point they would stop growing, at what point their body would kind of stagnate, but they didn't age. They reached a certain point of growth and maturity, and then their bodies remain the same until death. Only in Abraham's time, Abraham requested that God should give him, should cause him to age. That's what Abraham requested. Why do you request that? So the Midrash tells us that he and his son would walk into a room, and they look exactly the same. Because even though Abraham was 100 years older than his son, but they still look the same. Because Abraham didn't age. So he and his son, you know, children typically look very much like their parents. His son looked about the same. So they walk in the room and nobody even knows who's Abraham, who's Yitzchak. Who deserves the honor that Abraham, you know, due to Abraham? Who deserves the honor due to Yitzchak? And Abraham deserves more honor than Yitzchak. He was older, he was more accomplished at that point. So Abraham said to Hashem, he said, I request that you adorn me with old age so people can recognize who to honor. So God said, you requested a very good thing, and I will start with you. You'll be the first one to age in history. And that's why it says in the Torah that God, that Abraham Zakein Bab Yamim. Abraham became old. He came with days. So Abraham was the first one to age. And he actually appeared like an elder. Until that time, nobody appeared old. Everybody appeared, you know, as they did when they were 20, they appeared when they were 150. It was all the same. That's what the Midrash tells us. But we see from... What? That's a good question. It sounds like it's egotistical. He wants to be honored. He's requesting honor. You know, they're honoring my son and not me. I deserve the honor. So I can address that in a minute. But we see from this midrash that the point of aging is this: is that so we know who we should honor based on their years. Because when somebody does appear older, you know they've lived through life, they have life experience, they have a lot of wisdom to offer, and that person deserves the honor. Now, so this honor is supposed to teach us, like we said, this person, based on their wisdom, whether it be Torah scholar's wisdom or the wisdom of life experience, since wisdom is our goal in life, and wisdom is what we're living for, we show honor to show this person is significant in my eyes, what this person has accomplished is very important, and therefore I want to strive to be just like that person, to learn from that person, to also achieve the same wisdom this person has achieved. Now, the fact that Abraham was requesting honor is a strange thing, as Art pointed out, because we know, even though we have a mitzvah to honor elders and honor Torah scholars, the rabbis also teach us you're supposed to run from honor. Nobody should request honor. Honor is considered a very negative thing, because honor can go to your head. Honor is something which can make people do very, very terrible things, because they want to be honored by others. And it causes sometimes for people to change their whole life direction, that their actions are not done with proper intent. They do things which are possibly wrong or illegal just to deserve honor. Honor is something which people should avoid. It says, you should flee from honor, run away from it as far as you can. However, sometimes the elder or the scholar needs to endure the honor and go through it to teach others. And that's really, I think, the answer is to Abraham as well. That the Torah gives the mitzvah for a reason. And if every single elder Torah scholar said, forget about it, and passing on the honor, then we would never recognize people for who they are. And the scholar has to know that even though he should hate being honored, and he should hate it when people stand up or when people honor him in various ways, he should know he needs to endure it and go through the excruciating experience, which hopefully is in his eyes, so that people understand that they have to strive to be scholars. And that's the person. So Abraham, I would assume his intent came from there. He wants people to recognize who he is, so people strive to be like him. If no one knows who Abraham is, they can't tell that Abraham's lived through life, and he's the father, and this is the son, then people aren't going to learn what their goals are in life, what they should strive towards, you know, what they should aim to achieve. I think that's what Abraham's idea was. Yeah.
Isn't there somebody in the Haggadah who turned old also?
Right. So that's the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Right. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was, I think, 17, and he was chosen to be the president of the Sanhedrin, the Nasi. And he first said, "I don't want to do it because, you know, I look very young. People aren't going to respect me." Now, the rabbis felt he was the best choice for the job, and he was a great scholar at the time. But he was concerned. They said, I don't look like I'm a scholar. I look like a young teenager. No one's going to show me any respect. So God made a miracle overnight, and his hair turned gray overnight. That's what the Talmud tells us. And they took the job. And at that point, he appeared like an elder, so people honored him for that. But his point was that sometimes you have to be able to perceive the person as an elder or as somebody who has worked very hard in life, in order so that you know to honor them, which is Abraham's point. That's very interesting because the Rambam, Maimonides, he explains why is it that his hair turned gray. So the Talmud says that God made a miracle and overnight it turned gray. The Rambam says that it's because he toiled so much in Torah, he turned himself gray. It's like something, you worry me so much, you're turning my hair gray. You know, that type of thing. He worked so hard in Torah and in his short life, he turned his own hair gray. So it's a contradiction to the Talmud, you know, different opinions discuss, you know, what Rambam actually means. But the point is the same, that sometimes how a person looks is a result of their life experience. And when a person works very hard and their hair turns gray, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's a good thing. Because that means this person has lived through life, experienced a lot, and now is worthy and deserving of honor. Now, despite the fact that the hair color doesn't make a difference in this mitzvah, the Torah does describe the elder as seva. It describes the gray hair. Because the appearance does mean something. Because then you know who is the address of this honor, who deserves the honor. So that's the idea of the Sefer HaChinuch. Now, there's a second related concept, which is, if you want to learn from somebody, you have to respect them. I mean, it's kind of the flip side of it. We have to know who to respect. We have to know what deserves respect. We also have to know, if I want to learn from somebody, they deserve respect. A child who doesn't respect the teacher in school can't learn from that teacher. If I don't respect you, I don't want to listen to what you have to say. So we train the child. You have to show respect to your teachers so that then you respect their words that they're teaching you. We train children, respect your parents. And it's a mitzvah to respect your parents because your parents have to be able to guide you and to teach you. And if you don't show respect to your parents, they're never going to be able to teach you. So there has to be this relationship of respect that a child has to a parent or to a teacher, and that we all have towards elders and Torah scholars, because we don't learn from them. Like we said before, they possess wisdom, life wisdom and Torah wisdom. And if I want to learn from that person, I have to show respect towards them. And then I have trained myself, this person is somebody who I should learn from, and I take in their lessons. The scholar will teach you Torah, the elder will teach you about life. And the idea, when we talk about the elder teaching about life, it's something we've all heard before, you know, we've heard it from our grandparents, and it goes down generation to generation, which is that people tell you, you know, I've been through a lot, I've seen it all, and what you're doing is totally wrong. You know, I know better, because I tried it before, been there, done that, and the Torah recognizes that. An elder has seen it all, elder's been through it all, they have an opinion typically is an opinion based on experience, life experience. They don't want to see you stumble in the way they stumbled as when they were younger. They've been through the pitfalls of life, and hopefully as generations move on, if we accept the advice from our elders, we avoid the troubles and failures they went through when they were our age. You know, so that's something which should be passed down generation to generation, is that we learn from elders, and therefore we kind of move up to the next step, because they're training us that I tried that, didn't work, so you shouldn't try it either. And typically, you know, they have a lot to offer us. Also, the Ralbag, one of the commentaries, describes that the idea of honoring an elder drives home to us that we should honor God himself. Because who is the greatest elder of this world? It's God, preceded it all. So if we honor elders because their wisdom, their life experience should teach us something, then God, who has been through it all, as it were, knows it all, has seen it all, certainly should honor him. So by extension, when we honor another, we also need to be honoring God as well. Now I think the problem is, like we mentioned before, we live in America, and we live in the year 2014, and the concept of honor is, I think, a lost art. You know, you go back probably 60, 70 years ago, even in America, you know, there was protocols or formalities, and these things seem annoying. Ways of dress, ways of speech. So, and they are annoying. And we understand why those are things maybe we shied away from in modern days. On the other hand, they're very important. The Torah stresses the idea of honor, of kavod. And in America, the more powerful person is, the higher person is, the more they are subject to shame and disgrace. And that's what we've seen. Maybe they deserve it sometimes. Other times they don't. You know, it's interesting that the Queen Esther went in to see Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus, the Talmud describes, as a greater at the summit than Haman himself. He wanted to kill off the Jews just as much as Haman did. A terrible person, a wicked person. Esther's on her way in to request him to save the Jewish people, and she calls him a dog. There's a chapter in Tehillim, in Psalms, which is attributed to what Esther said when she entered into Ahasuerus. And she said, "Save me from this dog." At that point, God got upset and punished her. The rabbis tell us. Because despite that he was a wicked person, he's still a king. A king deserves respect. So immediately Esther changed her tone and called him a lion instead of a dog, which is a much more respectful term than a dog. So we would think, well, he's a dog. I mean, he's a terrible anti-Semite. He's a murderer. He's a tyrant. You know, he's a terrible dictator. But yet, he was still a king. And God says, you don't speak to a king that way, or about a king that way. Because a king deserves honor despite what he does. And you have to refer to him not as a dog, but as a lion. There's a blessing we say upon seeing a powerful king. And when you see a non-Jewish king, you recite, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Shenasam Mechvodo Vasar V'dam. You gave of your glory, of your honor, to the human being. Because the king possesses honor. So somebody with power possesses honor of God. God bestowed honor upon that person. And the person may be corrupt and use it in the wrong ways, but he still possesses honor. And we have to show honor to the position. One of the boys in the yeshiva, he's from South Africa. And he told me that, you know, decades ago when South Africa was at war with Great Britain, so people were saying terrible things about the Queen of England. And the president of South Africa at the time said that, you know, she's the queen, you don't speak about that way, about a queen. Despite the fact that they were at war. Because she's a queen, you don't speak negatively about a queen. So I don't know exactly which president we're talking about of South Africa at the time. That's this boy in the yeshiva told me. But, you know, it's the same point. It's that there's a certain level of honor which people deserve based on who they are, whether it be based on their life experience, based on their position. And that's something which nowadays is kind of lost. And we don't give honor to anybody. Even the way people dress. You go back, even 30 years ago, people dressed in a different way than this day. You go back 60 years ago, for sure. People walked around in a more honorable way, a more dignified way. I even remember my father worked for IBM for many years. And when I was a kid, he went to work every day in a suit and tie. He didn't see clients, he just worked in his office, but they're part of a suit and tie. That's how he dressed when you're working. By the end of his career, he was wearing just, you know, regular khakis and a shirt, whatever, because they dropped it. And they said, there's no need to dress like that anymore. And that's where the world has gone, is that we don't dress in a dignified way, we don't give honor to others. So, I probably came down mostly, I guess, in the 60s with the hippies and things like that, when people started rebelling against authority. I guess that's where it all started. But the rabbis predict this. The rabbis in the Mishnah, at the end of Masechta Sota, Tractate Sota, they say, "Inikvasa de Mashiach," in the times preceding the coming of Mashiach, what will happen? They say, "Chutzpah yisge." Chutzpah will increase. People have more chutzpah. They'll be more disrespectful to others. They say, "Na'arim pnei zekinim yalbinu," that the young will shame the old. They say people will despise those who fear God, and essentially, the trappings of honor and authority in this world will come crashing down. That's what the rabbis described. And it's something that we've experienced and we see in life. And on the one hand, again, the protocols and the formalities are annoying, but it's an important thing. It's a terrible thing for us because the Torah is all about honor. We say every day in Shacharis and in the prayers, we mention, Baruch Elkeinu Shebaron Chvodo, blessed is God who created us for His honor. We're here to honor God. There's a verse in the book of Isaiah, Kol Nikra Bishmi Lechvodi, all that's called in my name and in my honor, Barasiv Yitzartiv Afasisiv. I created it, I formed it, and I made it. I mean, everything is here in my honor. Everything here is for my honor, God says. We're here to honor God. Our life is here to honor God. And our goal is to always bring out God's honor in life. Bringing out honor means that I'm trying to delineate and signify those things in this world which are important and significant. And I don't focus on the negative and on the bad parts or insufficient parts of life. I focus on the positive parts of life. The rabbis describe who does not deserve a share in the world to come. And they say a lot of examples of those types of people, but they're all based on one verse. Kidavar Hashem Vaza. This person has disgraced the word of God. They have disgrace. The opposite of honor is disgrace. Those who disgrace people, disgrace God, disgrace the Torah, those are the ones who don't deserve a share in the world to come. Those who show honor to God, honor to others, honor to the Torah, honor to elders, they deserve a share in the world to come. So our actions in life should always be actions that are showing honor to others, constantly. Honor to other people, honor to elders, honor to scholars, honor to parents, honor to God. Those are our actions. And we're trying to underline and highlight the significance of all these different institutions. So of course we have to always show God's significance. Every action we do should be somehow honoring God, because I'm trying to act in a way which brings honor to God. This shows that God is the called the heavyweight of this world, as we described it before. God is the one and only being which we are here to serve. But beyond that, when you honor another human being, what are you honoring? You're honoring the fact they're created in God's image. They're created by God. When you honor an elder, you're honoring that person because that person carries within them wisdom. And wisdom comes from God. You honor a Torah scholar, that person carries on the knowledge of Torah, which is God's Torah. And every action we do should be action which brings honor to God, not action which disgraces God or disgraces others. And that's how we live life. And even somebody who we don't believe is so deserving of honor, we can't figure out, why should I honor them? Again, the person is an evil person, forget about it. But the person's a normal person, but you just can't figure out, like, what is it about this person I should honor? The answer is, the person was created by God, has within them something positive, because God made them. They have a soul, they're here in the image of God, and therefore I should display honor towards them. So I'm always trying to delineate and point out what here is deserving of honor, and not focus in on those parts of the person which aren't deserving of honor. Because disgracing another person, disgracing others, is a terrible thing. the soul itself is referred to as kavod, it is honor. We refer to our soul as honor. Because our soul's main purpose in this world is to show honor. Show honor to God, and by extension, show honor to others. That's the purpose of the soul. So the soul is actually referred to as honor. There is a famous concept described by Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah was one of the early Torah scholars who wrote commentaries on the Talmud. He wrote commentaries on Pirkei Avos. He wrote a book about Teshuvah. So he writes, there's a verse that says, I have it in front of me, but the verse ends, Ish lefi mahalalo. Every person based on his praise. So the typical understanding of that verse is that I could judge a person based on how others praise him. If others speak about him highly, I know it's a good person. If others speak about him negatively, I know I should be wary of that person. That's usually how the verse is understood. He gives a different understanding. He says that a person is defined by that which they honor. A person based on his honor doesn't mean how others honor him, but how he honors others. So what does he say? He says that if you're a person and you honor people that are good, who do good things, who excel in their character, excel in their service of God, that defines what's at your core, because that's what you feel is significant in life. But if you honor people who are lowlifes, you honor them for traits which are not so appropriate or savory, you honor them for doing things which are not appropriate, that's what shows you are at the core. So Rabbi Yitzchak Huttner, he extends this, and he says, let's take two models. He says, you could take a person who appears to us like a very pious person. Person is always helping others and studying Torah. A person might go to shul and pray 3 times a day, and they seem to pray with a lot of kavan, a lot of intent, and be very, very focused servants of God. But yet, when a Torah scholar walks by, that person is not moved. Doesn't show him his honor, and the honor he shows him, if anything, is superficial. But when the multimillionaire walks by, he suddenly gets very excited. Or when the athlete walks by, he's very excited to honor the athlete. So that shows what's at his core. This person at his core are truly a devoted servant of God? Or is the person at his core somebody who's looking for money, looking for power or fame? So even though on the surface the person seems like he's very pious, deep down the fact that he shows honor to the millionaire or to the athlete or to the movie star, but doesn't show the same honor to the Torah scholar or to an elder, that defines them at their core. Having to take the flip side. You have a person who doesn't seem all that pious. You know, they try to be nice people, but they're not always helping out others. When I study so much Torah, you know, maybe here and there you've noticed them doing things you don't think are appropriate, but yet they accord so much sincere honor to Torah scholars, to elders, to the Torah, and they couldn't care less about the millionaire walking by or the movie star. So it shows that at their core, they're actually much better off at their core than the other person we discussed. Because the person, that which you praise shows what's important to you. So everyone has their challenges. And all of us, you know, we have our difficulties and struggles. But what's really important to us, what's not important to us? Well, that's defined by what we truly praise. If I show honor and accord and praise to those things which are good in this world, then that defines me. I'm essentially a good person that has to overcome struggles. But if I appear to be a good person, but yet I'm showing honor to people who are not so good, so that shows something else about me. That shows deep down at the core, I don't really care what I'm doing, and truly, I'd rather have fame or power or money than be a servant of God. That's the full thought of Rabbeinu Yonah. And I think we could all relate to that. That's Ishli Mahalo. It's every person based on what they praise. So what we show is significant, that's who we are. Because we're showing this holds weight in my eyes. This is significant in my eyes. But somebody who praises those things which are not so significant, that means that deep down, that's what they feel is significant. That's the concept of honor. So we have to train ourselves that even though society seems to not be into these formalities and protocols and standing up and dress, so we have to know that in the Torah, honor is considered a very, very important thing. It teaches you what are your goals, who are your role models, who should you hold up on a pedestal and say, that's the person I want to be like, the person I should learn from. And when you show them honor, you're training yourself and training others. On the other hand, we have to run away from honor. If you're somebody people are honoring, you should not enjoy the honor. Rabbis tell us, you should flee from honor. And the bottom line of all of this is the famous quote in Pirkei Avos, which is that, Ezehu mechubad, who is truly honored? Ha-mechavad es habrios, the one who honors others. Famous quote, who is truly honored? One who honors others. And I think we understand that very well now. If you honor others, that means you're an honorable person. Because deep down, you're showing that you see significance in people, in God, in God's Torah, in Torah scholars, and wisdom, So that shows that you're one who is deserving of honor because you're showing what's significant to you. So if you show honor to others, that creates a truly honorable person, and that trains everyone else to understand where honor is, where honor belongs, what role models be, what's significant in life. So that is the concept of the Torah here. The Torah tells you you should stand up before elders, you should honor Torah scholars, and it's the message that's given to us, that we have to show honor to those who deserve honor, we have to recognize what's truly significant in life, what are our goals in life, and see people for what they possess, that they can teach us and show us. It's interesting, if you go into the buses in Israel, so they have this verse quoted in the bus, you stand up for the person, you know, if someone elder walks on the bus, you stand up and give them your seat. So they actually have this verse plastered in the buses. It's an interesting thing. Only in Israel could they do such a thing. You know, but to quote from the Torah, plastered in the bus, you know, stand up for the elder who walks into the bus and you give up your seat. So it's something we have to train ourselves. And a lot of the times we think these things are for kids. The kids stand up for their teacher and they stand up for the rabbi walking in the room, but it's for everybody. Because all of us have to learn where honor belongs. And if we honor those who deserve honor, we're showing they are kaveh, they're heavyweights. And if we disgrace those things that deserve honor, we are at least portraying the fact that they're lightweights and not so important. So we have to be very careful where we show our honor, and we have to act in honorable ways towards people who deserve honor. Any questions?
I remember, I come from a conservative background, so it's a little different. But if the reps in Heller walks into the room, do we rise? And we look at her as a very knowledgeable individual.
Right.
Do we translate this between the sexes?
I think so. I mean, it's certainly a woman over 70 deserves honor. That's clear halachically. When it comes to Torah knowledge, so that's something which is discussed. Since women don't have a mitzvah to study Torah,
right.
Even though they did, you know, Rebbetzin Heller, obviously, is your example, has a lot to share.
Which name do you mean?
Rebbetzin Heller.
But I certainly think it's appropriate. I mean, you never hurts to honor somebody, that's for sure. And so anybody who's deserving of honor, you're training yourself. This person has a lot to offer me. And everyone should recognize that. I mean, you have many, many ladies who have plenty to offer in Torah knowledge. You can be very inspiring speakers. And so I certainly think it's appropriate to stand up for someone like that. If it's halakhically required, that's debatable. But definitely I would recommend it. That's how I would tell you.
Like at Ohev Shalom, for example. Ohev Shalom, there is a Maharat, we say, right?
Right, yeah.
Ruth?
I've never met her, but okay, yeah. I've heard of a Maharat, but I've never met...
What is Maharat?
It's an acronym for something. I don't know what the acronym is for.
She's almost wrong.
Right. I mean, they use it to denote a woman who is very knowledgeable and is able to teach Torah and ruin halacha, so they use it for. Yeah.
I didn't have a comment. I just found it fascinating when I came across that passage in public. We're all conditioned that when you open the ark and the shul and take out the Torah, everybody stands up. And Thomas said that's derived from this law. So you have to stand up for the person who learns Torah.
Right.
But it was the person
that came first. Right, yeah. Right, that's a good point. The Talmud says that the Babylonians are very foolish, because Babylonian Jews stand for the Torah, not the Torah scholar. And really, the Torah scholar is the one who possesses the Torah. So that says that the Babylonians are very foolish in the fact they would stand when the ark was open, like you're saying, and the Torah walked by, but they didn't stand for Torah scholars, and they got it backwards. The Torah scholar is what you have to stand for, and you know, the ark is by extension of that. Yeah. Right. That's true.
But yet we don't stand to honor that.
Right. It's a good contrast. I mean, Art's pointing out there is a blessing if you meet a secular scholar, somebody who possesses this incredible, I don't know if nowadays who would use an example, but someone who possesses an incredible amount of scientific knowledge. So, Socrates. So there's a blessing to make upon that person. You would say, Shenasa mechachmas levasar medam. God gave of his wisdom to a human being. That's what we say. So you're recognizing the wisdom, because, again, wisdom is something we always respect. For that person, you don't rise for that person. I guess it's so we understand, you know, what wisdom is truly our goal, what wisdom is important, but not our goal. I guess that's the differentiation made. Torah wisdom is our goal in life. Secular wisdom is something honorable and important, but it's not our goal in life. So I guess that'd be the differentiation.
Wisdom Einstein.
Einstein was a Jewish secular scholar, right? So it's actually halakhically debatable. There's a blessing to be made upon a tremendous Torah scholar, obviously Jewish, is blessing made upon a secular scholar who is not Jewish. It is discussed amongst the halachic authorities, is there a blessing to be made upon a Jew who's a scholar in secular knowledge. Because on the one hand, I guess you would say, well, he should have applied his mind to the Torah, possibly. So I don't know. That's something which is debatable. Einstein was sort of a blessing on a secular scholar. I'm not sure. But if you take a non-Jewish scientist who, you know, of Einstein's caliber, let's say, so that's the person who you would make a blessing on for
Poincaré.
Sure.
Poincaré.
I don't know who that is.
Poincaré, beginning of the last century. He was a giant.
Okay, yeah, so someone of that caliber.
He would have invented relativity.
Uh-huh. Okay, right. So a non-Jewish scholar of that caliber certainly deserves the blessing. So nowadays also, there is a blessing made upon a Torah scholar. We're talking about a Torah scholar who is world class. We're talking about meaning somebody who's looked at as the top of the generation. But there is a bracha made, which is cholok michachmoso le'yireyo. He gave of his wisdom to those who fear him. So if you ever to run into, let's say, you know, Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky or somebody who would hold up to that caliber, you know, Rabbi Yoshev is that style. People said Rabbi Yoshev, who passed away a few years ago, people used to say the blessing when they saw him. We're talking about the top of the top, the cream of the crop for that blessing.
Maimonides qualified.
Yeah, for sure. not that when we see them nowadays, but if we were to meet Maimonides, yeah, that would for sure qualify.
And which